I have the composer and the conductor, Michael Shapiro, here with me on the phone. And Michael, we had, well, first of all, I want to welcome you and thank you for taking some time to talk today.
A pleasure to be with you.
Yeah. We spoke, I guess it was almost a year ago. We talked about the album with your piano concerto, Archangel.
That's right.
And other works mm-hmm. on that piece. Fascinating conversation. And I've been enjoying some of your own conversations that I've watched online, your video series Interplay, which I want to ask you about a little bit later on.
Of course.
But we're here to talk about this piece that you wrote for solo violin, mm-hmm. your piece Variations.
Yes.
And it's a fascinating work. I wonder if you can just set it up for us by telling us the idea behind the piece and the actual work that it's based on and where it comes from?
Oh, sure. Piece Variations was written for the virtuoso Tim Fain. Now, Tim Fain is one of the most extraordinary musicians I've ever worked with. We have done at least 5 violin concertos and Schindler's List together over the years that I've conducted with him. And he has recorded my solo variations. It's just solo violin, nothing else. It's called Peace, as in P-E-A-C-E, Variations, which is a theme and 18 variations. He's also recorded my second violin and piano sonata with Stephen Beck of the New York Philharmonic and the Brooklyn Knights. And I've written recently a violin concerto for him called At the Shore of the Sea, a 25-minute violin concerto, which is going to be performed all over the United States when the lights come back on, which they're starting to dim. I like the dimming that's going on, Brad. So in any event, going back to Peace Variations, as I started to work with Tim, and he was artist in residence with my orchestra a number of years ago, I was astounded by the quality of the sound of his playing. Now, he's someone who is well known to moviegoers because in the past few years, his violin has been featured in 3 Oscar winners, The Black Swan, Moonlight, and 12 Years a Slave. He's the violinist in all 3 of those. And he's had a duet with Philip Glass, violin and piano, going all over the world for several years. But before he started with Phil, he started with me, and we've done tremendous work together. And the thing about Tim is that he has a voice which is kind of like a prophet. His playing is so clear and moving and comes from almost an otherworldly place. So I had written, before I met Tim in the 90s, a set of variations for cello, solo cello, based on a theme coming from my tradition called Elijah the Prophet. And it's called, in Hebrew, Eliyahu Hanavi, Variations for Cello, Solo Cello. And it's recorded on Naxos as part of the Milken Archive of American Music. And is recorded by the associate principal cellist of the Boston Symphony, Sato Knudsen. Magnificent recording. It's recently been done to several other players, and very soon there'll be a recording put out by Sarah Sant'Ambrogio, the great cellist of the Eroica Trio, and recently Christopher Hahn just performed it for the Milken video series coming out of UCLA. It's gotten around, but it was so successful, it was so easy for me to write, that I was thinking, I have to write something for Timothy. So with Timothy's involvement, I've got to make that clear, because we work, if I may use the analogy, like Brahms and Joachim, the great violinist. Mm. Yeah. I sent him things, and then he said, well, don't you think it should be done this way, or write this way, or that? Or he says, oh, that's great, Michael, I'll take it just as it is. The point of the matter is it's a true collaboration. So all of my violin music that I've written for him has on its cover Tim Fain, editor.
Yeah.
And it's going to be true of the new violin concerto as well. In any event, Peace Variations, P-E-A-C-E. I wanted to write variations on a well-known theme. And I chose a theme that has the ability to be expanded. Now, let's talk about that. The best theme and variations in the creation of our art are of themes that have the ability to be commented on, have the ability in inner quality of expansion and varied behavior, let's call it. There are some themes or tunes that can't really be varied so easily. They don't. They're so self-composed. You know, I don't know how you would do the prize song in Demise to Singer and make variations out of it. Mm-hmm. But you could certainly, like Elgar did in the Enigma variations, take that opening theme and develop it into this amazingly grand work.
Right.
The Eliyahu Hanavi variations, Elijah Prophet, was based on a theme that is commonly used in the Passover evening and also on Saturdays to bring in the darkness, but with the light of Elijah, the prophet, pointing us the right way. Well, the theme that brings in the Sabbath in my tradition is called Shalom Aleichem, which is peace be unto you. Now, let's just stop for a second and think about that. In all of the things we go through now, or have ever gone through, but certainly now to us living folks, isn't that a sentiment that we really want to have? Peace be unto you. Real peace. Isn't that something the best of us are seeking and the worst of us are working against? Because peace unto you is the idea of civilization. It's the idea of one-on-one love and the love of a family and of a culture and of a country and of a world and of climate. You know, the good things in life and right. Love. So that's what I love about the theme of Shalom Aleichem. And in the theme itself, which brings in my tradition again, the Sabbath, the theme to me seemed capable of expansion. So I chose to make variations, and I wrote 18 of them. It's a bigger piece than the Elijah the Prophet variations for cello. And I gave these variations to Tim, and he timified them, as it were. And he made a grand piece of it. And when you write variations, obviously of the opening theme, but you have to think not only of each variation being another kernel, let's say, but what's the entire corn look like? You know, you have to think macro and micro. And that's where my symphonic background comes in handy, and all the listening I've done and the writing I've done. So the piece builds upon itself and goes into different areas of interest to me.
I was curious about your experience writing for, you know, large forces and then writing this piece for a solo instrument. And a couple of things come to mind. I mean, when we think of, you know, solo string music, we think of the Baroque masters, maybe like Bach or somebody like that.
Yeah, of course.
And I wonder if you had that sort of music in your mind a little bit, but also this idea of writing just for a solo instrument. Can you talk a little bit about the difference for you in expressive abilities with these different forces?
Brad, it's a wonderful question. You know, when I wrote Eliyahu Hanavi variations with solo cello, I certainly listened to the Bach in the Casals and the Rostropovich recordings, the Bach suites, which he wrote for cello, not for viola da gamba. He wrote them for cello.
Yeah.
But, and there's some, let's say, remembrance in some of those work movements to the Bach. However, with this piece, I was in a different place. I mean, I could listen to solo Bach and, you know, and being a New Yorker, I was able to go and hear Nathan Milstein play the Bach Chaconne live.
Wow.
You know, it was a concert of all solo Bach music by Nathan Milstein. And I was sitting five or six rows back with my uncle and aunt. And my uncle Charlie was a violinist. And my aunt Gina was a pianist. And there he was, the great man himself, playing the Bach Chaconne. So it's in my blood, you know.
Right.
But to get back to your question, writing solo pieces is probably the most intimate form one can imagine. It is a form in which you're portraying something that's very close by. You know, when you do an opera, you're doing a theatrical experience. When you're writing a symphony, it's a large statement. Piano concerto. And you've heard some of these pieces already. You know that in those pieces, the statements perhaps are more broad.
Yeah.
While when you're writing a string quartet, string trio, solo string piece, the intimacy is immediate. It's very bare. Plus, you have the technical issue of you can't just have a single melodic line going. You need to have some harmony in there. Think about that.
Right.
We have a melodic line. If it's nude of harmony, well, then where the heck is it going? We've learned from Bach, of course, that the intertwining of melodic line with double stops, triple stops, maybe more, gives a richness and direction to the melodic line. Obviously, the rhythm, the pulse, the timbre, on top of the, or underneath, or simultaneously with harmony and melody, it all works together. So, I have to say, in writing the two sets of variations that I have, one for cello, one for violin, they were very easy pieces to write. They were not my usual Sturm und Drang, you know, of ripping it out of my brain.
Right.
No, but it's an interesting thought because, you know, when you're writing music, depending upon the circumstance or what it's intended for, it can generate a different response from the composer as they're working.
Yeah.
But I would say that in the case of the solo variations, my piece variations that I wrote for Tim, I knew he was going to play them. I knew he was going to play them at a certain place, at a certain time. I knew we were going to record them because I love to record, as you know. And I knew that I'd get feedback from, you know, one of the top two or three violinists in the world.
Right.
And a person who feels about things like I do, very deeply. But also it has a joie de vivre, a joy of living. So yeah, it all combines. And
right.
To answer your question, you have to think of micro and macro in a different way than if you're writing a symphony or a grand piano concerto.
Well, I would say there's just as much drama in these pieces.
You
have the theme, which kind of returns at the end,
yes,
an octave higher. You know, it's a retrospective, yeah, in a way. But also these very short variations between 40 seconds, two and a,
yeah,
half minutes, which all seem to come together. They unfold,
yeah,
naturally, right? Did you have any kind of specificity as far as what you wanted to say, what kind of a spin you wanted to put on this traditional Jewish, mm-hmm, greeting melody?
Well, I wanted to get in deeper than just the melody itself. The melody itself is total genius. It's hundreds of years old, and it is just a brilliant, gorgeous melody. There's no question about it. But in its, yeah, intervals, I found untold truths that I had to tell. I believe that melody writing is like great storytelling. My mentor, Isaac Bashevis Singer, the Nobel Prize winning author, used to say that, yeah, without story, there is basically no book. I firmly believe without melody, and I'm not just talking conventional Tchaikovsky melody, melodic line that's compelling, there is no storytelling in music, and it's aimless. So when you set up situations, you use your ear like an author uses his eye. You use your ear to say, where can I take Brad Cresswell when he listens to that movement? I think of that. And where can I take myself,
yeah,
as I'm writing it? as I'm writing this thing, what is it recollecting for me? And obviously, it's now going to be interpreted or recreated by a genius violinist. So you put those elements together, and the hope is that at the end of the day, there is an expression that draws people in.
Well, I think the process you described applies to just about any of your compositions.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about Interplay, because this is a fascinating video series you have of conversations with luminaries in the arts. And I mean, when I say luminaries, I mean real luminaries. I mean, well-known conductors and other musicians.
Yeah,
I was struck by something that the opera director Francesca Zambello said to you.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with Francesca at the beginning of my career as a singer. And to hear her talking about the state of opera today, when she said, you know, and this is in terms of the COVID shutdown, that it was an art form that needed a reboot, but that reboot came a little bit earlier than they expected. I wonder how you feel, and we should mention that you went through COVID-19 yourself about a year ago.
Yeah.
How you feel that the pandemic has affected the future of the classical music world as a whole, and your composing process in particular?
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's very major. So thank you for mentioning Interplay, Conversations in Music. It's been a wonderful trip. First, with Interplay, I started it when I was in the hospital. I got a call from Max, who you know, my PR agent. And Max said, would you like to host Living American on Sirius XM?
Yeah.
And I was in the hospital at the time, and I said to Max, I'd love to do it in that voice, but how about we call it Dying American? That's my New York sarcastic humor. I didn't get my breath back for another 6 weeks. I was in the hospital for five days with pneumonia, COVID pneumonia. But thankfully, I got through it. And then we met certainly just right after that when Archangel came out, the BBC National Orchestra of Wales recording with Steve Beck. But I've been thinking about this a lot, because the two things that wanted me to leave the hospital and regain my health were going back to my family and my loved ones and writing my new opera, The Slave. I chased the rights to this book for decades. It's the novel by Isaac Bashevis Singer, who was, again, my mentor in many ways, about plague, pandemic in 1650s. Mm-hmm. We've been through this before, COVID fans, and xenophobia and hatred between cultures.
Yeah.
It takes place in Poland, and it's about the Polish and Jewish controversy of the period. It's a love story of a Polish woman and a Jewish man falling in love. Can you imagine in 1652 during the plague? Not a great time. So you can just imagine what happens. And Singer, with his laser vision, describes this. So I figured I chased the rights, and it finally got the rights with a written agreement with the estate right when I was coming out of COVID. So for those two things, I said, I got to get out of here. I got to write this opera. So what's the reboot, to use Cheska's words? What's the reboot? Well, the reboot has to do with what's important, listeners, to all of us. And I think no matter what our politics are, we have the same reasons. We have the same, hopefully, reasons. And the reasons are, we have the beauty of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the goodness in our culture and a world culture. And I think we have to learn from this experience. And if we don't learn and we just go back to business as usual, that's such an error, and we've lost an opportunity. So the reboot has to be in choice of subject. I've got one here with The Slave, which is amazingly important, because it's all about the issues that we care about. You know, love, hate, conflict, resolution, belief, faith, all the things that we really should be addressing. And I'm not saying it's only something that should be to the benefit of cultures that have been downtrodden. I do believe that that is something that must be addressed, but with the highest intent and the greatest skill. Mm. When you go back in history and you look at pieces like Auverger Lust, the prisoner's song in Fidelio of Beethoven, you have an instance of a composer who recognized there was something beyond what was going on, you know? That there was this quest for air and quest for freedom that is so important. So the reboot that I think she was talking about was aimed towards social justice. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, that aim towards social justice will only survive and benefit and prevail if it's tied to the greatest art by the best artists. And that could be unknown people too.
Yeah.
So I think that there should be an openness and a recognition of approach and different ways of looking at things, different ways of presenting things. You know, film is a great venue. As you well know, I'm occupied in writing film scores with my Frankenstein, for example. It's definitely something we can look at in many different ways. And I don't yet know when we're getting back into the theater. I mean, all of my activities, I've had so many furloughs and postponements, I can't count. I'm hoping to go back to the UK and to, I have a new agent in Germany. I want to get started conducting over there. And I've got many gigs here in the States, which are just put on hold. Yeah. So that affects a working composer. So to do what Cheska's talking about reboots, it can only happen if we can be working.
Yeah.
So we're all hoping to get back in the saddle. In the meantime, I will tell you, Brad, that since we spoke, I've had 150 plays on worldwide radio,
yeah,
at least. And what's interesting is that a over 100-year-old form, the radio, has predominated.
Right.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Brad.
Well, I will absolutely be on board with you for that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and these conversations, and the, you know, radio is that interactive medium where people have to meet us halfway. And
exactly,
these sorts of conversations, like what we're doing right now, can mm-hmm. really bring people into the conversation. You do the same thing with your video chats on Interplay. I do want to mention that folks can find that as well as your entire catalog and your other activities at your website, which is michaelshapiro.com, including the episode you did with the Frankenstein monster, which I enjoyed very much.
Well, he's my old friend.
Yeah, yeah, the monosyllabic contributor. Yeah,
he doesn't say much, but when he says it, he really means it, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Peace Variations for Solo Violin, played by Tim Fain, that's also available through your website, right?
Well, it's available commonly. It's on Spotify and Apple Music. It's on my website. It's available on Palmanuk Records, which is my record company.
Okay.
And it's available on, you know, Amazon Prime, all over the place.
Well, it's a beautiful listen, and having talked to you about it, it's really maybe want to go back and listen again, you know, to glean some of those deeper ethical kind of components that always seem to be populated in your music. So
it has become something which I didn't realize was so much in it, but it really is in it. I only recently have I been looking back and saying, oh my God, it's really the core of what I'm doing. And you know what? It's the core of Bach too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is.
Absolutely.
And the best of us, it's the core of us. So, you know, that's the great joy.
Wonderful. Well, I've been talking with the composer and the conductor, Michael Shapiro. His new album, or new release, is Peace Variations. It's for solo violin, played by the wonderful violinist Tim Fain. And Michael, I just thank you so much for talking with us and shedding a little light on this piece and also your work here on FM 91.
Well, thank you so much, Brad. I wish you all the best of health, and let's all get back to the theater.